Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. My guest for Live Your Music today is Sarah Renee, author of a new book titled The Blessings Book. Join us for a conversation about her Blessings Book and her work as a psychic medium and spiritual transformation coach. Welcome, Sarah.
Hello.
I am so happy to have you on the show. It's going to be so much fun talking to you about this book, The Blessings Book. And, you know, I just wanted to say right out there, first of all, that I saw Serena Dyer had posted on Facebook that you were launching your book the day that you launched the book. And I had not heard of you. I hadn't heard of the book. But I trusted Serena, and I thought, you know, I've got to check this out. So I got the Kindle version of your book, loved it, asked you to be on the show today, and then ended up ordering the actual book, too, because like you had said, on the launch day, I really love real books. I appreciate my Kindle because I can have books on there and take them with me to the dentist or somewhere like I did yesterday. But on the other hand, there's just nothing like holding a real book in your hand.
So I'm the same way. I'm old-fashioned. I like I like to hold it.
Yeah.
I like the smell of it, you know.
Yeah, bookstores have always been one of my favorite things in my life. And, you know, writing a book was like a dream come true. And then, you know, having people on the show that talk about their books is so exciting too, because it's just, you know, I actually think that everybody has a book in them somewhere, you know, and it just, you know, if we'd all share what we learn, then the world would end up being such a great place, don't you think?
I agree 100%. I feel like people know so much, you know, more value than they realize often.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I think to start off with, how did you know you were a medium? And explain a little bit about what that is for my guests that don't necessarily know what a medium is.
Sure. So a medium is essentially someone who can connect with the other side. So ever since I was little, I could like sense and feel and see some things that other people, you know, couldn't see. For example, like my grandmother passed away when I was 5, and the story is kind of in my family, like that I made my mom drag me to the hospital to say goodbye to her in the middle of the night. And I sat there and she had already transitioned. And so her body was laying down, but I sat talking to her as if she was sitting, because I saw her sitting. And then I just got up and I said, "She's gone now, we can go." I was like, totally fine. My mom was like, "Okay." So,
wow, what a
story. You know,
yeah,
that's kind of, I guess that was like, you know, one of the biggest, most obvious things that I was different. And then my parents used to take me to Sedona, which has all these vortexes, and it's like a big spiritual place where people go. And even when I was little, I'd sit in the middle of the vortex and I'd be like, "I have to talk to God now." And I just like... It just came so natural. My parents, you know, they weren't meditators or anything at that point. So they were like, okay.
Wow. Are you an only child or do you have brothers and sisters?
I grew up, so my little sister is 11 years younger than me.
So it's like you were a child for a while.
Yeah, I have that only childness, and then and then I became a sibling. So, yeah.
So you said that your parents used to take you to Sedona a lot. I've always wanted to go there. It just looks so amazing.
Oh, it's so beautiful. It's still, we used to go there for Christmas a lot, and there were like 2 years in a row where it snowed on Christmas, and the snow on the red rocks, it was just so magical. And I haven't been for, gosh, like 10 years now or over. I really, it's on my list. I want to go and check out some retreat places, and I'd like to lead a little, like, weekend retreat there.
Oh, that would be fun.
I feel like that would take everybody to the vortexes and stuff.
Yeah. How long have you been doing this work?
When I was 18, I had my first session with one of my mentors, she actually contributed the little blurb on the back of my book, Catherine Yunt. And I just went to her for a reading, and she told me, you know, that I had mediumship abilities, that I could choose to use them to help people or not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I still kind of struggled, you know, back and forth throughout my 20s, my early 20s on what that looked like for me and, you know, if I wanted to use them or not. And then in my mid-20s, I moved to San Diego and I did yoga teacher training. And when I was teaching yoga with my private clients, I would get intuition, you know, to do different energy healing work with them. And then slowly but surely people's loved ones started coming through with messages. And, you know, I didn't even know like what I would like sit there and argue with them in my head. I'd be like, I don't do this. Like, I don't know what to say. And, you know, they keep telling me something and I'd be like, okay, like I have no idea what this means, but I just tell it, you know, to the person, like, this is weird, but this, you know, I'm seeing this person and this is what they're saying and this is what they feel like. And people would be like, oh my gosh, you know, that's my grandfather. That's my, you know, my husband's father, like, who, you know, it was usually, it would make sense to them. And so I started, you know, just doing, then people just started requesting readings, you know, and so it just kind of transitioned organically like that. And, you know, once I started doing the readings and realizing that it wasn't scary, you know, or overly exhausting or, you know, and it could be really rewarding, then I was like, okay, I can do this now. So that's been about 7 years professionally that I've been doing readings for people.
Wow. That really must be amazing to be able to talk with the people in the other side. You know, I know my mom has been what I call an angel in the sun since 2006. And luckily I've been able to feel her with me all that time. But it's not the same type of thing what you're talking about, you know. I mean, I write to her and then I meditate and then she answers me and
oh,
I write
so
down
beautiful.
The answer. I've been doing that since she made her transition on October 25th of 2006, and luckily I'd already started meditating for 15 minutes a day and in the morning. And then Louise Hay gave me the idea to write a question at the top of the page, you know. And so I had been doing that, and after my mom transitioned, the first thing I did, I was, like, freaked out. When I found out, it was, like, a real sudden heart attack, and I went home and sat in the chair that I write and meditated, and I meditated for 15 minutes, wrote a question, Mom, what are you trying to tell me? And then just let her talk to me. And I've been doing, a lot since then, and then, you know, it just feels so good to be able to have that conversation with her. And so do you help your clients somehow talk with their loved ones that have made transitions, or do you just give them readings?
I'm not really sure. Sure, yeah, and it's a little bit of both, but I do, you know, I mean, I definitely, you know, give them the reading in the sense of, like, direct messages from their loved ones. But I often, you know, often their loved ones will say, you know, hey, this is how you can connect with me. Like, play this, maybe, you know, for some people it's meditation, you know, like what you're talking about, or like, and I get a lot of people will mention to write them letters that they can read them from the other side, or to just talk to them even in their head, or to play a certain song, you know, and they'll compare it when they're talking to me, you know, and they'll say, that's like, your phone call to heaven. It's like your phone call to the afterlife to maybe hold an object or play their favorite song or, you know, eat their favorite food or go to a special place or, you know, little things. And it's kind of, it's different for different people. But just to get them in that kind of in that energetic space where mm-hmm. they can, where they're open enough to feel them. So yeah, I definitely, I try to teach my clients, you know, so because you know, you don't want to have to need a reading every time you want to connect with your loved ones, obviously, you know, so
right,
I try to give
right.
them tools to connect daily, you know, just so they can have that peace. Because as you know, with your mom, like they're always around and they, you know, their point of view, it's easier for them because they can see us. You know, it's definitely the hardest on us being left here. And, you know, they often say, you know, it's just shifting the relationship to a spiritual one from a physical one. They don't consider it like a loss.
You know what really helped me, I think, I'm just thinking about this as I'm listening to you talk about this, what really helped me be able to feel that way too, though, was getting in the practice of doing the 15-minute meditation first, which I had gotten from Abraham Hicks. You know, because I'm so visual, like most of us are. I didn't want to close my eyes, even for 15 minutes, and I couldn't ever get into the kind of meditations where it would go Om Mani Padme Hum or whatever. You know?
Yeah,
so I was
mantra meditations.
Yeah. So when they described it in Asking It Is Given as being just, you know, close your eyes and set a timer for 15 minutes and focus on your breathing, and if you, you know, if a thought comes, then let it go and everything. I couldn't believe it. I felt so good. That I ended up deciding, wow, I want to do this. It's not a I have to do this. It's a I want to do this every day. And having that feeling, though, started to help me feel more connected, I think, with people who were on the other side. Because you're right. I mean, it's like you can feel them with you. It's like I can feel her hug me from inside, which is a really cool feeling. And
yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah. But, you know, hearing what you're saying, I realized that if I hadn't been doing the meditating, I probably would have had a much harder time with the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. And that's often, especially with my coaching clients or with students that do my group courses, you know, establishing a consistent daily meditation practice, whether it's 5 minutes, you know, to begin with, or 15 minutes or 30 minutes. But, you know, I find the consistency of doing it daily is probably the most important factor for
people and create the
biggest shift.
Yeah.
And like you said, it just trains you to feel that energy, whether it's like your angels or, you know, your higher self or, you know, if you want to call it God or source, you know, or your loved ones.
Right. Or your inner being, which, I call my inner being Joy. That's how I got the middle name Joy. And you're right. I mean, a lot of times I'll just write, Joy, what are you trying to tell me? You know, and then meditate and then let her, my inner being, tell me what's going on. And so, yeah, I really highly recommend doing that. And it sounds like working with you, though, for people who have not been meditating and who don't know how to do that would be really, really a good thing to do. It sounds like also, though, this is bringing us up to how did the idea for the Blessings book come about? Because, you know, I think, I'll tell you what, I have to say, the Blessings book is a blessing. I love it. I really love it.
Thank
I've already
you.
Read the I've read the Kindle all the way through right away at the beginning. It's a small book. I ended up ordering, like I said, the book of it with money my sister gave me from Amazon for my birthday. And I love it. You know, I love being able to hold the book and, like you said, just be able to flip open the pages and then read a page. And I love all the prayers, affirmations, mantras, and visualizations that you have in there. It's just so cool.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, so it's kind of a funny story. I mean, I always knew, I've always been a writer, so kind of like you mentioned, I knew, like, I had multiple books in me, and eventually they would start to come out. And for the Blessings book, it came about because I was in a bookstore, and somehow I ended up on this, like, shelf, and there were all of these, you know, the modern-day spell books or spells for creating your best life. It was all kind of, like, witchy, you know, type stuff, because that's kind of getting more trendy, you know.
Is it? I didn't even realize it was.
I feel like it's becoming a trend. But I have so many clients who are from different religions or religious backgrounds.
Right.
Who the spell words freak them out. Or,
yeah.
You know, or something like witchy. It just, they can't. You know, like they just don't connect with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, I'm like looking at all these books and I'm like, oh, but gosh, like a daily ritual to improve a specific area of your life is so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like in my head, it's like the Blessings book. I just saw the title and I was like, I'm going to write it. Like I'm going to write one that everyone, no matter what, you know, faith or background or anything, you know, no matter what their beliefs are, that can help them and that will complement, you know, their own belief system. So
right.
That was really the idea and the intention to give people something that's easy to use, you know, and can be modified for them.
Yeah, because, you know, as it says, I think Serena maybe said it in her foreword in the book, or
mm-hmm.
maybe on the back, but, you know, I mean, there really isn't a one-size-fits-all thing for anybody, you know. I mean, everybody has different beliefs and different rituals and ways they look at life already, and to be able to use it in creative ways. And I think that's, I guess, what I like best about it, is that it allows us all to use our creativity, and I totally know, not just believe, that we're all creative. It's just some people don't think that they are. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, it allows you to create your own version of it that works for you and to just, you know, go through. I haven't highlighted it yet. I used to start out with highlighting a book when I first got it with my yellow highlighter, and it's like,
yeah.
Wayne Dyer used to say that the whole book would end up
yep.
being yellow.
I know.
And so I haven't
yeah.
done that yet. I've been going through first with a pencil and just making some notes in the margins. But that's one of the things that mm-hmm. I really love about real books, is that you can do that. And even with my own book, The Art of Living a Life You Love, you know, people can buy it as a Kindle, but it just, you know, the layout's not the same, and it's not the same as holding the book and opening it up and writing in it. And
mm-hmm.
kind of actually sort of a workbook too, so it's especially important that they can write
yeah.
in it, you know. But yeah, I think that having the real book is what I would highly recommend, unless people mm-hmm. are super into Kindles, or if they want, they could get them both. But I think that's what I would say is
yeah,
both
and
of,
I agree. Like
cool.
I like the Kindle. I mean, it's nice to have to take with you, and I've heard feedback from people that still, you know, that are enjoying the Kindle for sure. But most of the feedback that I've heard, you know, and from my regular clients is, and kind of like what I've shared too, is that they'll wake up or they'll be sitting there in the middle of the day and they do a little meditation and then they open it up to a random page and it's always so perfect and they can, you know, write notes and highlight.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just published the Blessings workbook, which is like a little workbook that was made to kind of complement, you know, or a way to do the work along with the Blessings book. And so it's really cool to have both, actually. On hardback, you can kind of put yourself through a little course at your own pace.
Wow. That's cool. I didn't even know that you had the workbook to go with it. So when did you publish that, right after the Blessings book, or when did you publish it?
Yeah, it came out right after. And I know then we had a few tweaks with the formatting, and so it didn't get marketed as much as the Blessings book, but it's gone out, and I've been able to hear the feedback from people that, you know, have received it. And it's essentially, the first half is a bunch of, you know, questions and exercises and kind of journaling prompts to go through and, you know, really just help clear out fear and reset your mindset. And then it, you know, you can connect with what exercises in the Blessings book that you want to do for that area of your life. And then the second half is a customized gratitude journal where we break it down, because I noticed in a lot of readings, the guides were advising people to not just do, I mean, I'm sure we both know the value of doing a gratitude journal,
mm-hmm.
you know, as the Hicks talk about, and Wayne Dyer,
right.
and, you know, Louise Hay, everyone. But breaking it down into, you know, so it's 3 to 5 things that you're grateful for, and then 3 to 5 things that you appreciate about the people in your life,
mm-hmm.
and then 3 to 5 things that you want to celebrate about yourself that you did well today, 3 to 5 ways abundance or prosperity showed up in your life, and then 3 to 5 ways that you experienced your intuition or your loved ones, you know, or signs, synchronicities, those types of things. So it's really tailored to kind of help with your intuition, prosperity, love, you know, all of those things.
I love it. I love it. I can't wait to get it. It sounds really cool.
Yeah, I'll mail you one, because I just received them like a couple days ago.
Oh,
so
awesome.
I'll send one to you in the mail.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. I am so glad that I happened to be looking at Facebook that day when Serena had posted that about your book. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's so funny. The whole thing about intuition is moment to moment. You know, Sonia Choquette, I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she's been a mentor of mine, a great teacher of mine. And she had always said intuition is moment to moment. And I just love that, because it reminds us that it's right now. It's by paying attention to what's happening and what you're feeling and seeing and sensing right now, not later today or next week or something.
Yep.
But, yeah, I saw her post that, and right away I'm like, I've got to go check this out. And so I got the book right away on the Kindle. And like I said, you know, and then found you on, I think on Instagram or Facebook, and then said that I would love to have you on the show. And it's just, you know, but those were all things that just happened moment to moment where I was going, I've got to do this. This is just something I feel is something I really need to do. And I'm glad.
Yes, and I saw the name of your show, Live Your Music, because I have, you know, as we have discussed, you know, Dr. Dyer always said, you know, don't die with your music left in you. And as soon as I saw the name of your show, I was like, oh, I'm totally going to do it. Of course I want to be on your show. I just could feel, you know, your energy. And I was like, this is, you know, it's aligned, you know, 100%.
Well, you know, it's so funny, the name of my show, the part of the way it came about is that I have this friend named Robert Berry that has been my friend since college, and it's like, you know, we have these great conversations, and he loves hearing about the books that I read, and this, you know, he loved hearing about Wayne Dyer and all the things. So he was like, one day he's going, well, Margo, what do these people do that you don't like? And I said, nothing, you know. And then I thought about it later, and I thought, well, wait a minute. Wayne says don't a lot, you know. And then he says, don't die. And I'm thinking, I don't want to think about dying. And then there's that whole thing about don't, that I don't know if he ever really thought that about that much, but it's like, don't think of a pink elephant. You have to think of the pink elephant in order to to not think about it, you know. So anyway, I thought, how in the world can I say don't die with your music still in you without the don't and without the die? And all of a sudden, it just came to me, live your music.
I love that.
Yeah, it was so funny, though, because one of my early guests when I first started the show, the first shows I did were in the end of 2013, December 2013. Wow. And I remember this one woman I had on in the beginning of the year after that. She's like, yeah, but you know what? She goes, when he says don't die with your music still in you, it reminds you, you better get off your butt and do it. So I kind of like to mention that, but, you know, not dwell on it, is that, you know, it's not meant to be for you to go, oh, I'll live my music someday.
You know? Exactly. It's like, nope.
But
get
speaking
on it.
Of that, that also reminds me of Serena's book that she wrote with her dad that I love, too. And you were saying when we talked earlier that you like that too, that her book is actually called Don't Die With Your Music Still In You, because that was the one of his teachings that really hit her the most, because she realized that she didn't want to die with her music still in her. And, you know, what I love is when people get it, though. I mean, and especially people who have read Wayne Dyer's books or been to his seminars or heard him talk, they realize that when he's saying live your music, he's not meaning necessarily to go out and sing or play an instrument or, you know, do music, but it's whatever you feel called to do, what your heart desires are. And yeah. And
exactly.
That's what writing your book was. You know, it was a heart's desire. It just came through and you just took action on it and did it.
Yeah, it just, yep. Yeah, it was like, it's almost as if I didn't have a choice. And I know I would do. So Serena is a really good regular client of mine, and you know, I keep confidentiality, of course, but she posts on Facebook and she refers me to everyone, and she's very
public. I know, she's
about,
pretty transparent.
Yeah.
Well, she's so funny, because I remember after Wayne did make his transition, she had written this letter and she was saying, I'm unfiltered like my dad, and she really, I think she's maybe even more unfiltered than he is, but yeah.
She is.
But I like that. I know that what she says is what she means.
Exactly. And I love that about her. And I would talk to her. So like I'd do her reading, you know, and then we'd like chat for a little bit after. And there was one time that I had not written for like a week, and Wayne, he came through to me in the morning and he was like, chop, chop, like you need to get on this. Like you need to start writing. And I was like, am I, like, dreaming? Like, what's happening right now? Like, he usually just comes through in, like, readings. But so I told her, and I'm like, you know, I saw your dad. And, like, this is so weird because he was, like, yelling at me to write. And she's like, I have no doubt that he's, like, going to be directing you to write your book and, like, helping you get it out there. It was just the coolest thing because he was one of my greatest teachers. I mean, my grandmother read his books, and my mom, and then, you know, she got me hooked on him. So
yeah.
It just, it's wonderful.
Oh, that's such a cool story. That is really cool. So you had said in the book that Serena did kind of encourage you to write the book. And so that's, I guess, part of that story right there, is that she did encourage you to write it.
Yeah, she was one of my biggest supporters. And she, and then I sent it to her, just the PDF version, like before it was edited, you know, or anything, and just to kind of see her opinion. And I opened it up, you know, I was like, if you'd like to like contribute, you know, a comment for the back of the book or, you know, or anything, like feel free. And of course, it's like a little nerve-wracking sharing anything that you've written that's like your heart and your soul, like asking for feedback.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You know, it's like a little, it's like vulnerable. But she was so, you know, gracious. And she, I remember, you know, I didn't hear back for like a week or something. And then she emailed me back and she was like, oh, my gosh, you know, I love it. And she's like, you know, for sure, like, you know, here's my endorsement for the back. And she's like, would you like me to write the foreword? You know, like I'd be honored. And then she even said that in her foreword that she actually asked, you know, to write the foreword, and I mean, it was such a huge honor and like compliment. Like, I was just blown away. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, that, like, Serena write a foreword, you know, for my first book, you know, solo written, was just you know, such a dream come true.
It definitely a dream come true. Mm-hmm. Well, I know that I've been watching on Facebook and Instagram, and, you know, it seems like, you know, I didn't know that you were talking with her or who she was talking with, but she definitely seemed like she was getting happier again. And, you know, I know she's been through a lot of challenges, and so I really appreciate that you've been able to help her and her family with that, you know. Losing somebody like Wayne Dyer is huge.
They're good people. Yeah.
Yeah. Losing any of your family members is huge. And so, you know, the fact that you're able to help them with that is really wonderful. So speaking of that, are you still taking on new clients?
Yes, I am. I am usually about 2 weeks booked out, sometimes, you know, 2 to 3, but I try really hard to get people in as soon as I can. You know, just because I know people, I don't know, a lot of times people reach out to me with time-sensitive, you know, things. So I try to work, you know, around schedules and get things open as I'm able to. And I live in San Diego in La Jolla, and so I do in-person sessions here, or I do phone or Zoom video readings. And for me, all of them are equally Garrett. As long as people are in a quiet place, that's essentially all that matters.
yeah,
you know,
quiet
end,
would make
so.
A big difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, how can people work with you? How do they get in touch with you to do that?
So they can, you know, on social media, which now we're linked on social media. So if they follow you, they can connect with me on there. Or my website is www.sarahreneeinc.com. And on there it has, you know, my whole story. There's a store page actually with guided meditations available. And then there's, you know, ways to contact me. You can also just sign up to be on my email list. And I don't bug you. I don't spam you. I don't get overly, you know, salesy. I just send out every Monday. I send out like a weekly energy update email that I just essentially tune in with the guides, and they kind of tell me the energetic themes for the week, and I send that out, and you know,
that
it seems to
really
be helpful for people.
Yeah,
from what
that
I
sounds
hear.
Really good. I want to sign up for it. And I just wanted to say your website is SARAHE. SARAHRENEEINC.com.
Yes.
Yeah, because some people spell Sarah without the H, and yeah. Now, is Renee actually your last name, or is that a middle name?
It's my middle name. Yeah, so it's Sarah Renee Brockman is my legal name. And then I liked the flow of Sarah Renee, and it, you know, Renee means reborn, and Sarah means like queen or princess, or actually in Arabic, somebody was telling me it means happiness. And so I liked the idea, you know, after kind of my spiritual work and transformation of, you know, like a queen reborn, that just really resonated with me. So I just kind of leave off my last name.
I love it. I have to say that I really love the name Sarah Renee, you know, and it sounded like it was maybe a middle name, but on the other hand, I didn't care whether it was or not, you know.
Yeah.
It's just me.
Really,
I'm always curious.
Well.
That's part of why I enjoy doing these shows, is because I love
a
getting
lot of people
to know
ask me and
people. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, my gosh. Well, okay, so we only have 10 minutes left. Can you believe it? The time is just, like, flying by.
So
oh, I know. It goes by
once,
so fast.
You know.
You know, there's some questions that I like to ask my guests, and I'm going to ask those, and you don't need to answer them, but, you know, I'll just ask them, and then we'll get back to talking about your book and your work.
Sure.
What music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limiting beliefs and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. Oh, and gosh, Sarah, you know, I mean, it is such a beautiful planet, and there's so much good in the world. And I remember Wayne Dyer used to say, too, that there is so much more good in the world. It's just that, unfortunately, the news always portrays the worst stuff, and a lot of times people focus on that. And so it seems like there's so much bad in the world, but there's so much good and so much beauty. And it's just, I really appreciate all of the people who are on my show that are using their creativity and their love to write books and to create music and to teach and to do other things, do art, to paint beautiful paintings, to create more love and joy and beauty in the world. And it's
absolutely,
yeah.
There, yeah. You know, I really, and especially being a sensitive, you know, a sensitive person to energy and whatnot, you know, with being a medium, and empathic and all of that, like it is tough scrolling through social media and seeing, you know, the fear or when something happens and, you know, you get a lot of like the news cycles coming through, and it can be hard. And I certainly am not one, you know, I like to be aware of what's going on, but I also, you know, I make it a point for myself to limit, you know, my exposure to that stuff and really focus on the good and the good people and put my energy into, okay, like the solutions and who's helping to solve this and who's making the, you know, making things better. When I go out, you know, and like just to coffee, you know, I talk to the baristas and, you know, I just really try to, you know, focus on the good people, like, in my community and, you know, and then show up as a good person myself, you know, as much as I can, and to keep that, you know, because I believe what we put out there, we receive back, and, you know, also what we allow ourselves to receive, we put out, you know, it's a circle of energy. And so I also think we need to be willing to receive kindness and experience kindness to be able to show up and be kind.
You know, I think that's such an important point. I'm really glad you brought it up because, you know, even in my own life, I've always wanted to give. And so many people that are sensitive and kind and loving and creative like to give. But you know, they need to be able to receive, too. It's like, you know, Deepak Chopra talks about that in the 7 Spiritual Laws of Success. You know, giving and receiving are part of this flow, you know, and you can't just give. You have to do both. So talk about receiving a little bit. We've still got 6 minutes left, so
okay.
I'd like to hear a little bit about what you have to say about that for our guests.
Yeah, so, and that came through, you know, in a meditation was, you know, because we've always been taught what we give we receive, or you know, and to give out what we want to return, to treat others how we want to be treated, you know, all of those things and philosophies. And I was meditating, and because I'm such a giver, like I try to give 110% to my clients, you know, to my family, to my friends, and this particular day I was feeling so beat down, and it was just a rough moment, and I was meditating on the beach, and I just got, you know, what you receive, you give, and you are a vessel. And that really hit me. It's like something I've heard a million times, but it hit me in that moment. I just felt it. And I was like, you know, like, you're so right. It's what we receive. Like, how often does somebody say something kind to you or buy you buy you something or do a good deed for you, and then you go out the rest of your day doing good deeds for other people because you're so, you know, like honored and grateful and happy. But it just shows, like, you have to let yourself receive kindness and good things, you know, to in order to be in that energy flow, to be a vessel of that, or receive prosperity or love. Mm-hmm. You know, how can we give love when we won't let ourselves receive love?
So true, you know, so true. And, you know, I don't know, it was somewhat recently that I had sort of the same epiphany that you just had too, though, about it, and started realizing that, you know, I needed to write, and when I was writing notes to myself and affirmations, about giving and receiving, not just giving.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, and like with my clients, like when I do readings, and that's like my guides, like when I have these, you know, these epiphanies or aha moments, they use, you know, and I tell people this, like our guides, they try to use our daily experiences as examples for people. And, you know, they use the reading. I have to receive, you know, someone's loved ones, they have to step into my field. I have to receive the message in order to give it to somebody. And doing readings, I mean, like, it makes me feel so good because I'm having that spirit energy, you know, that high vibration moving through me. So
mm-hmm.
even when it's really heavy topics, it's still, you know, I still feel so good after. It's just, they're my favorite thing. That's why I don't know that I'll ever stop taking on clients, because I love it so much.
Oh, wow. We've only got about 3 minutes left. So what is... Oh, you know, one of the things I'd like you to mention a little bit is the spirit team, I think you called it, that we all have a spirit
mm-hmm.
team. Yeah.
Oh, that's
Can
a
you
good...
talk about that a little bit?
That's a good one. I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah. So, and in the blessings book, I do, yeah, I mention, and I use all the different words, you know, God, angel, creator, source, universe. I try to mix it up. But when
mm-hmm.
I see people, not even just clients, but like people walking down the street, people, you know, everywhere, I see...
Mm-hmm.
a whole team around everyone. And so everyone, the grumpiest person to the happiest person, has a team around them. And it, you know, and usually it's a combination of angels, different, you know, divine figures, like I've seen Jesus with people, or Mother Mary, or different Hindu beings, you know, all different. And then, and their loved ones, you know, and their guides. And so it's this combination. And so I started shortening it, instead of saying, oh, you know, I have all the, you know, I have to go through every single person when I pray.
Right.
I'm like, okay,
right.
I'm just going to call you guys my spirit team. And so I tell people, you have a whole team, you know, you have a whole team, not just one, not just two, you know, a whole team helping you through life. And when you address them as a team, you're really opening yourself up to receive like the maximum help from all of those sources, you know, and the maximum support. And they want to help you. They like, it makes them happy to see what they can do, you know, from over there. They just need your permission because
of free
will.
And that's a real important point. We've only got less than 2 minutes, but it's an important point, is that you have to be willing to ask them, because they can only help you if you ask them. One of my friends taught
mm-hmm.
me that, and it's so important for us all to remember. And it's even
mm-hmm.
true.
And I
people.
Have in the blessings book, yeah, I talk about like morning rituals and giving them permission every morning to just help, you know, help intervene in on behalf of your highest and best good. You know, that's like, if nothing else, just to give them permission to intervene for your highest and best good, you know, is a great start.
That is a wonderful way to end the call, or the show, I think,
mm-hmm.
is on that note. Mm-hmm. And Sarah, thank you so much for writing this delightful book and for being on my show. I'm really glad that Serena suggested that we get the book, and I'm glad I got it, and I listened to my intuition and asked you to be on the show. So thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And please, everybody, share this with your family and your friends so that they can learn about this wonderful book and Sarah Renee.
Thank you so much for living your music.
Thank you for living your music. I am just so thankful. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye for now, everyone. Bye for now, everyone. Remember to live your music, everybody. Bye.